Thank you for listening to the Catchify London podcast. For more information about CTF London, visit us on ctfl.life.
In a worldly sense, I've got nothing. You think I'm actually kidding? You really think I'm kidding? I felt two things. First of all, Dan Graham, that was the most incredible anointed worship I've ever had and heard come from your lips. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I charge you, Dan Graham, to step up into your rightful place where you have taken a back line or a back shadow in the area of worship. I call you back forth in the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare that breaker anointing upon you that will shake the nations because of your voice and your secret place time with the Lord. I declare, let it come forth. I uncap you and I cut the leash that has been around you. And I declare, now is the time to worship. There's a song in that. Or was that an album? It was a whole album. Now is the time to worship. Father, I declare in Jesus' name, let the songs arise. Let the mouthpiece of heaven come forth from Dan. And Dan, I forbid you from stepping backwards anymore. In the name of Jesus, we just blow any cobwebs off of you and we call you out of that place, even in your workplace. The shift has already happened in heaven. I saw a shift. I felt the Lord say that I've drawn a line. I've taken the club to the ground and it is time. My son will no longer be in bondage in that place. A time is coming where God is going to give you the desires of your heart. So get desiring if you haven't done already. Get out of the how and get into the know-how of heaven, because it's your time, son. It's time to rise and shine. In Jesus' precious name, all God's people say, yeah. Gloria, yeah. Estefan. Woo. Who said that? Whoa. I really felt there are different areas of incredible empowerment that come as certain worship leaders rise up. And I remember a conversation we had, I think, over Facebook about a year ago, and I challenged you hardly about your place in this family. And I felt the Lord say that you have grown into a daughter of this house. And as I saw you lead tonight, I heard the Lord say, I'm releasing the authority now of the daughter upon your shoulders to break the ground in worship, to break the ground in tenacity like you've never known it before. Because when you worship, not only you don't get distracted by what you're seeing kind of all around you, you just have one goal, and it's the prize of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And as you declare, as you sing out, as you stomp the ground around you, as you were like, you removed the microphone, as you had a manifestation, but I felt the Lord say, doesn't matter about how loud you are, the manifestation that comes from your heart as you sing out is literally shaking off. I saw demons fleeing from this room as you started to sing and open your mouth. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we anoint a daughter of this house for such a time as this. We call forth your voice and we declare that you are going to see the dead rise, the sick be healed, and the lepers cleansed because of your voice and your worship. There's a tenacity, not of warfare, but of worship that comes, and therefore demons flee. And I bless you in the secret place. Just stretch out your hand to her and just say more, Lord. Come on. Woo! Shakarambariye. And Father, I thank you for her roots, that she is not a proper English lass, that she is a feisty, incredible, tenacious daughter that is coming to teach us a thing or two about standing and taking the ground in worship. And I prophesy that this house will never be the same again because of what you sung out tonight. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen. Alistair, I saw in the spirit, I felt the Lord saying that these last few weeks and months have been the most testing time. I know that as your mama and your big sister and your boss and all of those hats that we wear. But right now, I declare that this is a change in season. As you prepare to get married, as you prepare to get married, I saw a shift coming. I saw a tidal wave come, and I felt the Lord say, you are an incredible son, an incredible associate pastor. Sometimes you act like the senior leader, which is really good because you have that anointing on you for incredible leadership. But I felt the Lord say that two are better than one in this moment for you. Now, I'm not saying no one get offended by that. I'm talking about Alistair here. And as you get married, there's going to be something that suddenly comes in heaven that hits the earth like you are not going to even know what's hit you, literally. And I declare that you and Abigail are going to look back over these last years and say, the Lord is preparing us for the revival that we've cried out for on separate nations. And I felt the Lord say tonight, Ali, that you have passed the tests, the many tests. Son, I am proud of you. And I just feel the pride of the Father over you. And I felt the Lord say as well, get out of how you're going to pay for everything, because he's already releasing the money from heaven. So Father, we thank you. Can someone say amen to that? And if you like that prophetic word, take a bit for yourself in Jesus' name. Come on, come on. And Dwayne, isn't it, lovey? Where you've been in the last few years, I do not know. All I know is that you've joined us recently. But I felt the Lord say you're going to be, it's like you're going to be a grafting in. When you graft two roses together, they become a new thing. And I felt that you are going to be grafted into a family like you've never experienced before. And Father, I call forth the sonship anointing within him to rise. Father, whatever has gone before, we declare no weapon formed against you will prosper, and no one, no man can stop the kingdom of God coming through you, in you, around you, and working literally through nations as you sing, as you worship in the secret place behind your closed door. The Lord says he's seen, he's heard, he knows your heart. Get ready for the shift in season, because a release is coming in Jesus' name. Just jump up onto your feet for a moment. That's not how I was going to start, but I wanted to start two things. I was sat in the car after the morning service. The morning service, I prepared a message. I got onto the platform and the Lord said, scrap your notes, I'm going to do a new thing. And he did a new thing. If anyone was there this morning, I think he did a new thing. And I got in the car and I went home. I drove home and I felt the Lord say, just stay in your car for a minute. And as I stayed in my car, I was just praying and I was messaging our leaders. I can't remember the exact words I said, but I said something like, be expectant and get ready. He's coming, or he's here. Expect something tonight. As I typed that, it was like a clap of thunder. It was a clap of thunder, or a loud boom came into my car and my whole car shook. I don't go looking for weird signs and wonders, but who knows, signs, wonders, and miracles will follow all that believe. And I literally had declared a thing, and I looked out of my window and there was no clouds. There was nothing. And I'm kind of looking all around, and the Lord said, what are you doing? You expect me to move? I'm going to move. It's like, you can't expect one thing and then just, like, when it happens, question. And I heard a clap of thunder, and I felt the Lord say, I'm putting a sword in the ground from this moment. And in this time, this church is going to cry out for revival like we've never cried out for revival before. All he gave me all week was one sentence for tonight, and that was a cry for revival. That's all he gave me. And then today in the car, when he said, this church are going to cry out like they've never cried out before, I got busted. We're going to believe like we've never believed before. We're going to see him move like he's never moved before. We're going to expect him to come like he's never come before. And I want to serve notice in this house on being comfortable with his presence. And I charge each of you. Some of you are tired. Believe me, I understand what tiredness is. Sometimes we feel like we go from one thing to another, one preach to another, but we get fueled off the presence of God. We encounter God's transforming presence so that we're never the same again, so that we give him away, so that we encounter his love and transform the one next to us. But some of you need to be dragged back into the river because you're dry on the bank and wondering where on earth God is. God hasn't gone anywhere. He's calling you back to that place of drowning in his love tonight. And in the week, I wrote down this thing. Hold on. Just raise your hands to heaven for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we submit to your word today. We submit to what you've been doing this week. And I'm going to tell you some stories, one big story tonight. I feel the Lord say it's okay to do that tonight. And I'm going to ask that you start to get a bit tenacious with having what I'm talking about. But Lord, I ask for a spirit himself, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask that you would hasten the revival we've been longing for. Father, we cry out for an incredible releasing of the river tonight, God, that will last. I ask for the incredible releasing of the rapids, God, that we will not swim upstream, but we will float downstream in the presence of God. And Lord, we cry out for mercy. mercy. We cry out for favor. We cry out for glory. We cry out for all that you have for us, God, because we will not be satisfied. I will not be satisfied, the Almighty, All-Powerful One. And I remind your souls tonight that the thing that you are actually looking for is his glory, and you may not even know it. There's a cry in each of us that is longing for our hearts to be reunited with the one who created us. And parts of us get left behind because we agree with frustrations. We get so absorbed with family matters or business matters or structure that we forget the purpose of his presence. And I have no notes for tonight at all. I scribbled down some stuff. I scribbled down some stuff in pre-service prayer, but there's a cry that is going to come from this house, I believe, where God is going to look upon us and say, my kids really know what they want. Because you can say it from your lips once or twice, but what truly is your heart saying? What truly is your heart saying? We have two situations going on at the moment, and before I go into a quick ministry time, and I'm going to ask that we sing a quick song, before we do that, I want to tell you that we had incredible breakthrough, and this is what I'm talking about, a revival culture. Revival is not about masses of people coming in. It can be. But revival comes from the Latin to bring life to something that was dead or masquerading as dead or isn't yet fully alive. That's what the Latin of revival means. Now, we can talk about revivals and awakenings. I'm not going to get into what is a revival. But the revival I'm talking about tonight is first and foremost for your heart to be shaken back in line with life-giving blood from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Where the lethargy and where the stuff has literally slimed you. I saw slime coming off some people. Like the worldly stuff, boredom in worship. What? That's not godly. That's demonic. Get rid of it. Whenever anything is contrary to wanting more of God, it is demonic. So if you don't want more of God, you need to ask Holy Spirit what needs to shift in your life and your heart. Does that make sense? So we have two things going on, and I want to encourage you with revival of excitement for finances and situations being turned on their heads. I put on Facebook yesterday, if 2,000 people of my friends gave £5 each, then the current bill for Kevin's chemotherapy would be paid. The current bill, we need another 20 grand on top, but anyway. And I sat up in bed and loads of people have given. It has been extraordinary. I sat up in bed and I turned to Stu and I said, what if God could just stir one person's heart to give £5,000 or £7,000? What if we get multiples of that? What if I just kind of release it into the atmosphere? Revival brings life. Someone say amen. Look at your friend and say life. And what happened tonight? We've had loads of finances coming in. I've had praise and worship going off in my heart for every £5 that has come in. And then someone came up to me and said, I just felt really stirred to give you this today. 12 hours later, £7,000 for Kevin's bills. Like, revival culture doesn't just mean on your face pleading the Lord to come. It means living in the life he's won for you. Revival culture is not just about weeping and wailing, saying, when are you coming? It's about hastening the return of the Lord. It's about calling him in. It's about saying, God, we are desperate for you. We want you. We long for you. Show us your glory, God. Because when there's a dead person in front of you, my week has been one gigantic encounter from the moment I prayed for this guy that was dead on Saturday night. This incredible son. And I have been transformed. But right now, I'm going to not go there right now. I just want you to cry out for him. Because Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the reviver. Some of you need reviving, but the world around you needs reviving. And if I dare to believe that the reviver is alive and living, then everything in my world has life. To revive simply means to bring life into a situation. It means to see something shift. It means any circumstance or person to rekindle the fire that is snuffed out. I shake you in the spirit right now. I shake you in the spirit. I shake off the lethargy. I shake off the spirit of death. I take the sword of the Lord and I cut you free in the name of Jesus from everything that is masqueraded as death in your life. And I call you forth. Sarah and Samuel Nuts, come to the front right now. I call you forth. I call you forth. Show us your glory, God. Come on, show us your glory, God. Show us your glory. Come on, just cry out right now. The reviver is here himself. He's called Holy Spirit. Give me a hand, honey. He's called Holy Spirit. Come on, just lift your voice. The reviver, King Jesus. Jesus,
show me your glory. Yeah. Show me your glory.
Come on, sing to him right now. Let the desperation and the hunger for him, resurrection power, is in the room tonight.
Show me.
point in crying out for the one who brings life, the one who causes life, the one who makes us live again, the one who causes us to be revived when we feel expired. Will you join with me tonight? I've been crying out to God for a move of the Spirit to be hastened, for us to be so undone by the Lord's faithfulness and really feel there's a cry that's going to come from our hearts today for Him to believe, for us to believe in a tipping point for souls, a tipping point for healing, signs and wonders. And I prophesy life. I prophesy let the souls come in, because where we cry out for more, where we cry out for Jesus, the souls can't help but come. The souls can't help be drawn. And so as we worship, start to cry. Start to cry out. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one. Of this week because of what God did in me on Saturday night. And on Saturday night, I found a new clothes. On Saturday night, I found a clothes that thought she knew what it was like to cry out for revival. I found a clothes that I had no idea what it meant to live with a yes and an abandoned cry of I'll go. I found a clothes that has wept more for the presence of God than ever before in my life. I found a clothes that has prayed for souls and been desperate for people to experience the presence of God. I found a clothes that was revived back to life in a certain area of my world that I didn't even know was masquerading as death. And I'm going to ask you in this place just to lift your hands to heaven for a moment. I sat weeping, longing for the Lord to come. And I declare in this place tonight, oh God, would you revive us again? Oh God, would you revive us again? Would you thicken your presence in everything we do, everywhere we look, every person we hug. Would you revive our families, God? Would you breathe afresh on every area of our world? And I prophesy, Lara and Russ, that you are a strategic place in this family for ushering in revival. I declare that you are needed, you are wanted, and that God has seen you. And I believe that the Lord is saying tonight, Lara and Russ, that you are going to see revival that you have cried out for. You are going to see the things that God has challenged you with and for playing out in these next few years. And God, I ask that a tenacious cry for more of your presence will come. For more of your presence, God. For more of your presence, God. For more of your presence, God. Just let him come.
We need a great
Just let him come.
Awakening.
Just let him come. Just let him come.
Hearts to break.
I felt there were two people tonight, two groups of people the Lord wanted to revive back to life. And JJ, I'm going to ask you to prophesy. I felt there are people in this place that don't have any boldness to go out onto the streets and love the hell out of people. I felt that JJ, sweetheart, you carry a revivalist anointing, and I'm just going to ask that you just prophesy in the room tonight. This is not a preach. This is just a whole big ministry time, okay? So just allow the Holy Spirit to wreck your heart tonight. Just prophesy anything that you feel God put on your heart.
I just felt the Lord say this. This isn't a boldness issue. This is a love issue. And I just felt him say, will you truly let him cast out all fear? And I've just been getting wrecked. If you're a new creation, which you are, then I just prophesy that you might get so out of your mind for God that you're only in your mind for men. And there wouldn't even be a glimpse of doubt or fear in you when love compels you to go. When love compels you to go, I just declare that no fear will get in the way. And I declare and prophesy that something has shifted, because I found myself preaching on buses and in town squares like I never have before. Something has been released on Billy Graham's death, and there is a mantle for revival and evangelism. This isn't about evangelists. This is about loving people. This isn't even about evangelism. This is about loving people, about loving your neighbor. So I just command right now the fear of man to leave this room. Where the fear of man has crippled you, I command the fear of man to get out right now in Jesus' name. It is as evil as any demon. So I command the fear of man being even vaguely considered about what someone next to you think of you to be gone right now. And I just declare and prophesy that you would be what the Bible says, which is crazy and out of your mind for Jesus, that you might tell the person next to you that Jesus so loves them, no matter what it costs you, no matter what it costs you. I just prophesy a crazy people that love wherever they go, that love wherever they go.
If you want that, just reach your hands up to heaven right now. Father, I ask for a wave of love to sweep across this room right now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Wave after wave of your glory, wave after wave of your beauty, wave after wave of your love. Would you release explosions of love in every person's heart right now that stirs them unto love. Love that stirs them unto love. Stirs them unto love. Come on. Just some of you aren't receiving it. Just take it. Just take it. Just take it. Take it. Charged by love. Charged by love. Charged by love. Some of you need to respond. Some of you just need to listen to what JJ's got to say one more time.
Yeah, the Lord just said, come on. Yeah, come on. The Lord just said one other thing to me. He said, will you allow yourselves to be broken? Will you allow yourselves to be broken? Will you allow yourselves to truly know the truth that your life is not your own anyway? Will you truly receive the truth right now that when you were saved, you died with him anyway and got raised with him? Right now, just for anyone that wants it, Holy Spirit, I ask that you just release the blessing to be broken and burdened for souls. That you'd be broken, that he might use you so full of the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come on, I'm serious. For those that want to be broken, God, right now, I say break them. I ask even, just release the fear of God right now. Fear of God come. Fear of God come. Fear of God come. Awesome, 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 awesome. He's not a tame Jesus. He's a mighty Jesus. Fear of God come. Fear of God come. Fire, 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 come on. That you might shake in your bones. You might shake in your bones. A fire will come upon you right now. Fire, 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 fire. Kurababa. You're not even going to hesitate for a second. Fire, fire, fire. Mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. Fire.
Is in you through the laying on of hands. It is your job to keep the fire tended to. It is your job. And when I saw people in this room that felt, I don't even want to be here right now, I've got better things to do. And I felt the Lord say, tell them to put their hand on their belly and to do as Timothy to instructed Paul. And that's to stir up the gift of the Spirit. That's not hyping up, that's stirring up. It's stirring up the passion passion for more of his presence. It's stirring up the passion that says, I can't live without you. It's stirring up the passion that says, King Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what you won for me on the cross, I will give it all. I will live it all for you. I will be everything you call me to be. I will go where you say go. I will stay where you say stay. I will do what you say. I will look upon your beauty and your glory, and I will make sure that until I have no more breath in my lungs, I have said yes to going where you sent me. That I will say yes no matter how tough the situation looks. That I will say yes for your glory, for your fame, for your kingdom, for your power.
Stirring up in us, wishing for your name. Stir it up in our hearts. Stir it up in our hearts. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion for your name.
Jesus.
Stir it up in our hearts. Stir it up in our hearts. Stir it.
One of the keys, I believe, to revival is what happened when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And one of the keys to you living a revival life, who wants to live a revival life? A revival life is simply being a life giver to every person you meet. It's about taking someone by the hand and saying, hey, you've got some stuff going on in your world that is not of heaven right now. Therefore, there is no life there. Therefore, take my hand. Take my hand. And let me pull you into revival life, into the presence of the reviver, into the presence and the fullness of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on Saturday night, I was reminded of when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and he looked up to heaven and he said these words. He said, Father, you have heard me and you always hear me. One of the keys to revival is talking to your daddy God. One of the keys to the revival and being a reviver in this place on behalf of others is saying, Father, I know that you've heard me and you hear me. As of right now, I want you to say that to him. I want you to get, you can kneel down if you want, you can sit down if you want, or you can remain standing. It's entirely up to you. You can lie down if you want. But I want you to say, Father, I thank you that you've heard me and you always hear me. Come on, say it out loud right now. And after saying that, you give him something to work with. After that, you give him your full faith. You give him your full undivided attention that says, I don't care what's in front of me, but I'm going to stand in the revival that God has given me in myself, what's happening in heaven, and I am going to see the dead raised, the sick healed, the lepers cleansed. I'm going to stand there and I'm not going to be moved. I'm not going to change my theology based on my circumstances. I will not be defiled by anyone else whinging that God isn't coming through for them. I will not be defiled by other people's moaning and groaning. I will stand and I will believe that Holy Spirit is going to breathe afresh to revive me so that I can be the reviver for other people. So right now, if you want to be a reviver that brings life to others and not be slimed by other people's rubbish, again, just lift your hands to heaven. Something's shifting in this room. Father, I take authority right now over every ungodly mindset, over every mindset where the enemy has won the attention of the saints in this room, the sons and daughters. I take authority over them and I smash them now in the name of Jesus. Those thoughts that are contrary to heaven, the slime that has stuck, the whisperings in your ears, the trying to convince you that Jesus is not Lord or not big enough. I break the power of those things in your life now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I forbid them from ever coming back. And I call forth the Spirit of God, the Reviver himself, to fall afresh on you right now, to empower you and to fill you. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you come? Would you remind us of the day of our salvation? Would you remind us of the miracles? We have so many testimonies. Would you remind us that the testimonies that have gone before us are greater than the trials in front of us? In the name of Jesus. We want to burn for you, Jesus. We want to burn for you. This is just between you and him right now. Don't switch off. Don't switch off. Don't switch off. Just ask him to send revival. More. More. We need you, Jesus. Awaken us. Stir us. Come, Holy Spirit. Just start to speak out from your lips who he is. Start to speak out who Jesus is. Start to declare who he is. You're worthy, Jesus. off each of your lips, I'm going to ask you to prophesy salvation over your five unsaved people that we asked you to pray for. So come on, just tenaciously right now, just start to pray for their salvation. Start to come in line again with what heaven is calling us to do. Start to usher in those unsaved people. Come on, from your lips, declare, speak to them. As JJ said, he was starting to get a bit lax, and then he realized he started to pray for that person on his list again and bumped into them the following day. So come on, tenaciously, it's time, it's time. Father, would you release your angels of salvation to the household of those that we're praying for right now? Would you release a spirit of revival to that household? Every person we're speaking out over, God, would you release a spirit of revival, the Holy Spirit himself, into their household? In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Tonight was, apart from salvations, was to stand as a church and believe for Muslims to be saved. I felt the Lord say that we have, in this area, I know, we have an incredible outreach opportunity, but I felt the Lord say, if we cried out for revival, that the Muslims will come. I felt that the Lord saying that as we cry out in this place, something was going to shift just in this land, in this kind of area, our authority area, and that we were going to see Muslims come to the Lord. So if you can stand, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask Luke to prophesy and pray, because I know it's a burden on his heart. But we're not just crying out for, I think people think revival was just what happened in Toronto. I think sometimes people think that was an awakening. It was an awakening, and that, yes, it was known as a great revival, but, and it was incredible, but there is so much more. Yeah. We needed a shake up in the body of Christ, and God just went boom in Toronto. Incredibly. But we need a shake up here in London so that the Muslims come to know the Lord. We need a shake-up here in London so that this land is drenched and saturated by kids who dare to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. We need a shake-up in this family as Catchify London to say, you know what? I don't care if I look stupid. I'm going to invite someone to church. My husband has been evangelizing, in quotes, one of his vets for about a year. And she came to church this morning and gave her life to Jesus. Woo! He didn't go trying to hammer down her defenses. He was a love bomb in her world. He drew her from a pit in the business place, and now she's seated in heavenly places. There's a calling out there that some of you need to be shaken up to enter again. And revival starts with me. I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs from Matt. Send revival start with me. Send revival start with me, because unless we see it, we'll never see it. Unless we say it, we'll never join with heaven to move and walk and live it. And so revival, Father, we stand today. We stand today and we say, Father, thank you for putting on Minas Dhu's hearts a tenacity to see the Muslim nation saved for Jesus. And sweetheart, would you prophesy, pray, do whatever.
Are there anybody in the room who used to be a Muslim who's now saved? Anyone? Yes, amazing one. Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Could you please come and lay hands on Tom, please? And anyone else who's really passionate about seeing the Middle East and Muslims saved, can you just go and lay hands on Tom for 1 second? Please listen to what I'm saying whilst you do that. That would be great. I heard God say when Clodagh said that I'm going to share about this. Tell them why. I mean, you all watch the news, so you know why. But I feel like there's doubt in hearts of some people in the room, doubt of who you are and who he is. And actually, that's the thing that was stopping me reaching out to Muslims and to anyone a couple of years ago, doubt of who he was. And I remember one day I just said to him, either you are who you say you are or you're not, and I need you to prove that to me. And he just reminded me one thing after another, really clear pictures in my mind of everything that he'd ever done for me, every miracle he'd ever done, any breakthrough that had ever been in my life. And I just knew in that moment, you are who you say you are. And if you are who you say you are, then what you say is the truth. And then I was reminded of the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And then I was like, man, we're in London. Who's my neighbor? Like, everyone. And he was like, exactly. And the commandment leads to the great commission, which is to disciple all nations, to go and make disciples of all nations. We live in such an amazing area, and God has brought all the nations to literally our doorstep. The great commandment is to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is it. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor. Our neighbors are all nations. The great commandment and the great commission are on our doorstep together, hand in hand. All the nations are here. So if you want to love your neighbor and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, I'd ask you to just put your hands out in front of you now as a physical response to him. And I just release right now an uncontrollable compassion that you would be wrecked from the nations. That as you look in people's eyes, you'd see him. That as you look in people's eyes, you'd see him. That you would not be able to walk past them. That you would physically be unable to walk past them without telling them about the goodness in your life because of who he is. That you would get that feeling in the pit of your stomach that you are unable to go home and put your door key in your front door without telling them about Jesus. That you are physically burning with the fire and the passion and the love that God has for that child that he created, that he loves. God, I pray that you would just stoke the fire in our heart now. Every single person in this room, God, just put your hand on your heart where you are. God, I pray you'd stoke the fire. Stoke the fire for the nations, God. God, we say yes to your commission. We say yes to your commission. I feel like there's people in the room that have the mindset that they need to wait to know what their calling is before they do this. Your calling is to disciple all nations. That's all of our calling. You don't need to know what your calling is to do that. That's all of our calling. If you're saved, your job is to disciple all nations. You're very fortunate that you live in London because all the nations are right here. But your job is to disciple all nations. God, I pray you would stoke the fire in our heart. We say yes to your commission, God. We say yes to your commands and yes to your commission, God.
And you need to know that last year when I said, God, give me the blind eyes to open, he gave me the blind eyes to open. And when I said at the beginning of this year, God, if you ask us to raise the dead, we'll go. And he did that last week. He asked us to go. And so I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord if you want to join with this family and say, give us the Muslim nations, God. Start to engage as we sing. I just felt this last, we're going to sing together to finish as an impartation I felt that was coming of an incredible grace, an incredible love. Father, I ask that you would stir us up, but God, that our one agenda would be to worship you in spirit and truth, do what you do, say what you say, so that the nations are saved for your glory. Thank you, Father. Let's close with this, Steve. Are you happy to do that?
Look into your promise of all.
Would you thicken your presence, Holy Spirit?
We pray and humble ourselves. You will come and heal our land. You will come.
You will come, Lord.
You will come.
Think about that needs healing around you. Think about the people that need healing around you.
That if we turn and look to your face, you will come and heal our land. You'll come. And
So in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I anoint you and commission you to change the world for Jesus, to change your world for Jesus, and to be seeking opportunities to save and seek the lost, just as Jesus came to do for us, that you would do for the next person that you meet, that you don't know, where God nudges you, that you would be open for the opportunity, and that you would be open for the, you know, it's almost, well, it's stupid, but it's almost criminal to pray this prayer, to sing this song, and then not respond to the opportunities that God is going to give you in about 5 minutes' time. Because some of you are going to be leaving this room and you're going to be meeting people that you have never met before. You're going to be on tubes, you're going to be on buses, you're going to be in restaurants, you're going to be at the pub, you're going to be going back to families. But on your way, you're going to meet people that do not know Jesus. And so we commission you as ambassadors of the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ. And Luke had a word that there were going to be a whole bunch of people. And here's the ministry time. I know we've been doing ministry for 2 hours, but here's the ministry time. The ministry time is for you to turn around, go and get your stuff from your seat, and go and find someone you can save in the name of Jesus and bring them into the kingdom of God. I say again, if you are in the room and you are the one who needs to be saved and needs to know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, then I want you to come and find me or one of the team. But for everyone else, if you need ministry and you would like prayer for any reason, if you need prayer for any reason, then you can come to the front first. And here's the number one top ministry that's going to be happening. I'm going to ask all the prayer team and leaders to come to the front, and we're going to release Luke, JJ, and the rest of anyone who's here. Ellie, you're going to need to come off the base. Philly, anyone else who's part of our evangelism team, we're going to lay hands on everyone. But here's the deal. I want you to speak out. Fear of man leaves me now in Jesus' name. Okay, let's try that one again. When a demon is leaving your life, you should A, have a smile on your face, and B, say it with a little bit more authority, okay? So, why don't you say again? Fear of man
leaves me now
in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit,
fill me up
with love
and power
and you now. Right. I want you to prove the words of your mouth. And if you're going to help us set down this room, then I need you to stay in the room for a few more minutes. But for everyone else, here's the ministry. I want you to get your stuff, and as you leave here, you may be on your way to the pub opposite called The Torch, and Matt and Sal are going to be there, two of our leaders. They're going to be there with a whole bunch of people, and they're just going to just be seeing the kingdom of God come in that place. If you are new to us, or you're not connected with us, or even if you are connected with us, going to the pub after church is a really endorsed behavior, okay? You are not going to get drunk in that pub other than the Holy Spirit. You are going to commune with other people and have fellowship with Matt and Sal and some of the team, and then you're going to see the kingdom of God released through that place. But however you're going home, I want to challenge you to be asking God, who is my opportunity as I leave this place tonight? And so, ministry team, leaders to the front. Yeah, and we'd like everyone to leave through this front door so that Luke and the team can lay hands on you and equip you with every bit of fire that you need to change the community. If you're new to us, come and find us. We want to get connected to you.
I'm just going to add one little prerequisite to that, and that's if you are being commissioned, I would like you to take off your shoes when you are prayed for and put them back on when you leave the room. I brought new shoes this afternoon, and I had no idea why. I didn't particularly need new shoes, but I brought some new shoes, and just God's just been releasing to me, and obviously we all know the armor of God. It's being fitted with the shoes that come from the readiness of the gospel of peace, but just this sense that there was a commissioning that happened when Moses was commissioned to be that first apostle. He took off his shoes in the presence of God, and he received that call. And so I'm just going to encourage you, just as a prophetic act, to take your shoes off. off when you're prayed for, carry them out of this room and then put them back on as a symbolic act that you've got new shoes. Your feet are fitted with the shoes that comes from the readiness of the gospel of peace. So let's just do this as a prophetic act.
And just to let you know, we're going to have a basket outside the door for a pound against poverty. If you're part of Catch the Fire, we want you to bring a pound every week so that we can get rid of poverty in our family. Okay, so just in case you missed it, at the front will be ministry team. If you have anything stopping you, be awesome in the marketplace and on the streets. And I want you to come and get these guys to help you release the fear of man and all that sort of stuff. And then we have a bunch of evangelist team and mission team here in the corner who are going to pray for you as you go. And Tom's asked that you take your shoes off as you come through. If you're not sure if your feet smell, do not worry. No one is going to smell them. So we're going to have a little bit of an arc there. And we want you to leave through this door and then go and save people in the name of Jesus. You are welcome to come for ministry for any reason. If you are one of the people that needs to give their life to Jesus, then I really want you to come and see one of this team and say, hey, Stu's been talking about me all night. I've been resisting it because I felt weird, but now I'm going to say yes to giving my life to Jesus. One of my veterinary friends gave her life to Jesus this morning. It is not too late for you to give your life to Jesus. I have to get a new VIP form because one of mine is already saved. Amen. If you are new and you're not connected and you want to be connected, then please come and find Alistair. We have a website. We have ctf.life, ctflondon.com. You can get on there and you can absolutely find out what God is doing and wants to do in your life and through your life. And if you don't have questions about why some people act weird in the presence of God, then I would suggest you're not really thinking much. And I want to invite you to think more and have questions and get those questions answered, because it is really important that you understand some of the stuff that's happening in the room to me. I am primarily a fivefold pastor, and it's really important to me that you don't leave here with questions that are unanswered. And if you don't have questions about that, then you're really not thinking. So come and ask questions. Go to the pub. Seek and save the lost. Change the kingdom. Get rid of darkness. Be a Christian. Be loved. And become a lover. Amen?